turned to the sports page, and the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. The kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it, the sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
Time for another edition of the sports page. I'm Heidi Holton with John Bauer
and Fred Friedman. And of all the gall, Kyle Erickson's out fishing. What do you think of that, Fred?
So what? He doesn't work? Is that the story? How it is? Is he on some the Blandon fishing scholarship or contribution or
it's research
foundation? Is that how it works out there?
It's research.
I just saw on Facebook he's been catching some smallies. He's got a picture of himself in the boat. So
nice.
There we go.
So Fred, everything we were thinking would happen has happened with the Minnesota Twins. Everything seems to be going good except for our starter of the opening day. And a blowout the second day, but the Twins have been playing pretty good baseball.
They have. And two strong performances by National League pitchers that they traded and signed for in Bailey and Hill. I'm most encouraged by that. And they swept the two-game series with the Cardinals, who will always have a good year. The Cardinals have won their division for 12 consecutive years. And I feel pretty good about it, how things are going. And let me add, this is without Miguel Sano contributing anything,
yeah,
and without Byron Buxton contributing anything. So sooner or later, I'm sure that's going to change. And the point is, they got so many run producers that a couple of folks could have a bad couple of days, and it. It doesn't seem to matter. So far, so good, huh?
Yeah, so no kidding. And then Arias, just right where he left off, he's a professional hitter.
Yeah, I do not understand how somebody who is the 20th ranked prospect in the Twins organization 1 year ago comes up last year and has an on-base percentage his rookie year of .399, which is crazy, top five in the league. Picks up where he lifts off, hits left-handers, hits right-handers, gets a base hit off Andrew Miller, one of the top three left-hander relief pitchers in the game last night. Where'd he come from?
Yeah, I know.
And how was he so underestimated?
Yeah, because you got to know he was hitting like that in the minor leagues. So it's just like he's playing slow pitch softball. He waits for his pitch, fouls off bad balls, and then usually gets a hit. Plays pretty good defense, too.
I know, and he has passed over so many other prospects in the last year and a couple of months. It's crazy. How can you? He has to play every day. I mean, he's a very valuable player.
Oh, so, okay, now, Fred, take me through the Dodgers-Houston Astros game. What happened?
So the Dodgers in Houston have had bad history, and it became worse over the winter when it was exposed, and that's the right word, exposed, that the Dodgers had cheated their way to winning the World Series 2 years ago with stealing signals and finding a way to get them to the hitters instantaneously before the pitch was coming, so the batter knew whether it was a fastball or whether it was a breaking pitch. And Dodger pitchers could not figure out, after having success all year against everybody, including the hitters, all of a sudden their stuff was getting crushed in the playoffs. And I found out because they had an elaborate system through scoreboards and cameras and high speed and high quality binoculars to steal the signs. So the Dodgers feel strongly that they were cheated out of the World Series at least once, if not twice. And they were furious about it. First opportunity, first game. Dodger pitcher throws at the head of one of the Houston players who was with them a couple years ago. Bench is empty, but of course, the Major League has made it clear that if there's any brawls, everybody's gone. Not for a week or two, but everybody's gone because of the corona. So as soon as that happens, it gets out. National League is suspended. Their Major League Baseball, excuse me, is suspended a bunch of players. And I could see it going on. I would see it going on even further. I'm kind of surprised there hasn't been any fights under the stands.
Yeah.
This was a big deal when it happened.
Yeah, for sure. And then you have the Florida Marlins, who had, 11 players test positive to COVID and a couple of coaches test positive to COVID?
Yeah, and now it's up, John. It's up overnight to 3-4 more players.
Really?
That tested. Yeah, it's bad. And so they're not playing for a week. All sorts of heavy cleaning has been going on because it happened on the road in Philadelphia. Nobody wants to go into the Philadelphia visitors clubhouse until they find a way to scrub that down so it works. And, of course, the issue is how did this happen? Who got sick? Who spread it? How did they get sick? The biggest problem, everybody's got to agree, is people on the road. Now they got to stay in their hotel room and the food's got to be brought in. And if this goes on, because everybody in sports watches this, because if they can't keep people safe, especially on road trips, it's going to mean no sports this fall and winter, right? It'll affect everything. So this is the story worth watching, I think.
Do you think baseball is going to survive?
I think it's 50-50 at best. I think it's 50-50 at best. This is, let's just say the most powerful enemy to the sports is the coronavirus. And it's throwing pitches that nobody could hit, that nobody's figured out how to hit. I don't know. What do you think? I think it's at best 50-50. And I can't imagine there's any way that there's going to be high school or small college football. Yeah. I can't imagine it anyway.
Yeah, there's leagues. There's leagues canceling left and right, and they're going to go to spring. And then you always wonder what happens to the baseball teams, people that play double sports. It's going to be weird. I literally thought when someone told me that 11 players tested positive to the Marlins, I thought I would read in the paper the next day that the baseball was shut down. But it didn't.
Yeah.
They're sticking to it.
Well, in the WNBA is they're all in one place and they're all getting their food delivered and they're trying to be as safe as they can, but that's also no guarantee.
No.
None, but hey, you make a good point that the WNBA, the NBA, and NHL are all in one place. They're all just in together, so the leagues have a better chance of controlling it. I don't know. I think baseball at the best is 50-50, and that's with no fans. On the other hand, you read all this pressure that's going on big-time Division I colleges to have a football season. But the recommendations to what they have to do, how often they have to test, the president, McAllister, says only the largest colleges in America could even afford the testing regimen.
Right.
So I don't feel sorry for a lot of people, and I don't know. It's hard for me to figure out how we're going to get out of this without a vaccine.
And, of course, the NHL has started back up at the end of July. They had a couple of exhibition games. I think the season starts maybe tonight. So hockey's trying. One positive thing Michael Small sent us is the Minnesota Loons haven't lost yet, right, Heidi? They remain undefeated as they played to a 1-1 draw against the Columbus Crew, winning the match 5-4. So the Loons are playing pretty good. You watching any golf, Fred?
Well, I watch a little bit of golf on TV. It seems to be affected less than anything else. It doesn't matter to me whether the fans are there or not at golf, but it seems to in the other sports. It does for sure in the other sports. And, that's about it. I know people are still out there playing golf.
Yeah.
I think that's a sport that's least affected.
Right. Heidi, do we have senior correspondent questions?
We do, but you guys didn't even talk about the Lynx and how they've played.
Oh, geez. That's kind of your responsibility.
Well, let's talk about the Lynx.
All right. So one win, one loss so far. Sunday night, they were not playing well.
Got chewed out.
Connecticut Sun, and then Sylvia turned it around in the locker room, I believe. Unless it was, Coach Reeve or their
Katie
Smith.
Sylvia.
or Rebecca Brunson, their stellar coaching lineup this season. But that was really fun to watch, the second half of that game against Connecticut. But then they played Seattle on Tuesday night, and boof, not good. But it was so fun to watch everybody else, because Sue Bird from Seattle and Breonna Taylor, they were back, and they were unbelievable. And oh my gosh.
Sue Bird is 40, Fred.
Yeah.
Sue Bird, my favorite player, my favorite professional and collegiate women's player. And that was something else I like about the WNBA. They're together. They're on the same page about the coronavirus. They're on the same page about salaries. They're on the same page about TV rights. They're on the same page about Black Lives Matter, whether the players are white or black. There's a lot more consensus. They handle themselves well at the games, before the games.
Yeah.
When a part owner of the Atlanta basketball team, the NBA, who happens to be a United States senator, made stupid, reckless, racist statements, they all stood up together on them. I like the way the WNBA handles their business.
And it's not new, because, you know, I went to my first Lynx game maybe 4 years ago, probably, and they were then supporting the Black Lives Matter movement.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're working towards progressive goals and supporting each other. And so it's great to see that they all have on their jerseys the name Breonna Taylor. Every WNBA player right now, which is pretty cool to see too. So
every single one,
yeah.
Regardless of religion, regardless of race, regardless of whether you're a big town girl or a small town person, you know, every one of those women on the same page. They handled it well. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Paige, I feel very inept. I'm going against Fred, so don't even, Fred, just jump
oh,
in.
Oh, we've got the trivia.
Become terrible.
Oh, wait, John, you were not hired for your trivia knowledge?
That's right.
No, he was not. All right, here we go. Senior correspondent Scott Hall says it's kind of a morbid start to the sports page trivia. It's how did they die?
Oh, that's right. Trivia. My God.
Cleveland.
Keep in mind, you're doing this on the date of the funeral of the immortal John, the great John Lewis. Think about that.
Yeah.
Talk about morbid. All right, go ahead.
Cleveland shortstop Ray Chapman.
Yeah, he was beamed and died in the game in 1920 by New York Yankees fastballer Carl Mays. He took a beaning, no helmet in those days, did not survive.
Died in 12 hours.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Pirates shortstop Archie Vaughn.
Oh, I don't know this. Archie Vaughn's a Hall of Fame shortstop. I do not know how he died. Tell me, what's the answer?
Drowned in 1952 when his fishing boat capsized on a lake in California.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I hope Kyle's listening to that.
Yeah.
Boxer Rocky Marciano.
Rocky Marciano?
Yeah. He never, John, you know this. He never lost a fight. He's one boxer to retire undefeated. And he died in a car wreck.
Oh.
It's also interesting about him. He participated as an older person in an early computerized prize fight against Muhammad Ali.
Who won?
I don't know the answer to that.
But,
I don't know.
The senior correspondent says it's a plane crash he died in.
A plane crash? Okay.
In Iowa in 1969.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Okay, on a lighter note, here we go. What future Baseball Hall of Famer won the Northern League Triple Crown playing for the St. Cloud Rocks in 1955?
Sounds like Henry Aaron to me.
That's what I was going to say.
No, the hint is that was the year that the Rocks were a farm team of the New York Giants.
55. Boy, New York Giants, 55.
Wasn't like Willie McCovey.
Orlando Cepeda?
Yeah. What future Baseball Hall of Famer had a 9-5 record and a 2.39 ERA pitching for the St. Cloud Rocks in 1958?
Oh, boy.
Were they still owned by the Giants?
He didn't say.
You don't know. 9-5. Oh, boy. I don't know. Gaylord Perry.
Yeah.
What? How do you even know that?
That's crazy. ridiculous.
Why would you even think of Gaylord
even
Perry?
Even Fred thinks it's ridiculous. He knows
that's
it.
That's ridiculous. I'm a bear.
You should be.
What future Baseball Hall of Famer won the Northern League batting title for the St. Cloud Rocks in 1961? And this, 62. That year, they were a farm team of the Cubs.
Future Hall of Famer, 61. I don't know. Ryan Sandberg. Billy Williams.
Rick Monday?
LB is the initials.
LB.
Larry Bull. No.
LB. LB. I don't know.
Lou Brock.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Who were the only brothers in Major League history to win the Cy Young Awards?
Well, that's...
The
Perrys, right?
Yep.
The Perrys.
Got it, John.
Was it?
Well, Gaylord and...
The Perrys.
Jim Perry, yeah. Yep. Pitched for the Twins.
Who was the first pitcher to win the Cy Young in each league?
Oh, boy. I think Don Newcomb, maybe for the Dodgers in 56, maybe. Is that it?
Nope, it was Gaylord Perry again.
What?
Yeah. All again, huh?
Okay, and then he has an extra hard one. What teams did he pitch for in his Cy Young seasons?
Oh,
Gaylord Perry, who did he pitch for? Is that the question?
Yeah.
Wow.
I can't
remember. Cleveland, maybe?
Yeah, that's one. 72.
The Rangers? Texas Rangers?
Nope.
The Giants?
Nope. 1978, San Diego.
The Padres. That's very hard.
All right, wow. Fred, we got to go. It was a great show today. Thanks so much for talking with us.
All right. Take care, everybody. Stay healthy. Stay safe.